Thank you for chairing, and thank you for everything, Peggy. Your love for me throughout this process. My name is Edith, and I am a lot of stuff. I am an alcoholic. I'm a codependent. I'm a debt and spending addict. I can use electronics addictively. I'm a food addict, and I'm a sex and love addict. And I'm always so honored to talk at this meeting or any 12-step meeting, but, you know, about these steps in this book and my experience with a particular step. And I love the title of this chapter, There is a Solution. Thank God, literally, there is a solution, because, you know, this step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And let's just say, you heard all those things that I am, let's just say that I was one insane person. And I acted out on all of those addictions, but I didn't realize I was insane. I thought I was fine. And I certainly, first of all, I guess for most of my life, I didn't even think I needed a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, because I didn't realize how insane I was. But once I got involved in this program, this process really, really helped me see very precisely how insane I was in all of those addictions that I mentioned, and other ways even. And that's a gift. You know, the fourth step, we're not there yet, but, you know, it's a fact-finding, in fact, facing experience. And when I first came in, I did believe in a power greater than myself. I believe that all my life, as far back pretty much as I can remember, you know, because we did have somewhat of a religious upbringing. But the key was, I did not have a relationship with a power greater than myself. And I also put a lot of limits on my power greater than myself. And again, what this experience has done for me, this work right here, has shown me, as I mentioned, how insane I was, very specifically, you know, very specifically. How was I selfish? What did that look like? How was I dishonest? You know, because I thought I was an honest person. I was not an honest person. I thought I was altruistic. I was not. I was very, very selfish. I'm not saying I can't still be these things, but nowhere compared to how I used to be. I was definitely dishonest, as I mentioned. I was self-seeking. I was doing things and saying things and thinking things, scheming, planning to carry out my selfish motives, my selfish ideas. I call it Edith thinking, which is not good. My Edith thinking got me in a lot of trouble, caused a lot of harm to myself and others. And as a result of this process, I now understand how powerful my higher power is. And I, not do I just believe that he can restore me to sanity, I know he can, because he has. I mean, I have my brief moments of insanity, but basically, my higher power has just completely restored me to sanity. And I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for the people in this room, people who in this room who've helped me do this, and newcomers who, you know, it just makes me smile when I see newcomers come in, because I know, you know, like I said, I don't just believe this. I know what this process can do for someone, because it worked for me. And I was skeptical. I had my little doubts, you know, like, okay, it worked for this person and that person. Oh, it worked for every single person that did it. But is it really going to work for me? You know, that's my, that's how I can think also. That's part of my insanity, you know. But I love this. Nearly all have recovered of that first 100. Nearly all recovered. That's a great, great promise to me. And when I came into this program, I kind of sat back and watched and listened, because thank God I couldn't speak. It's a good thing I couldn't, because I was pretty insane. But I saw people transformed. I saw people who may have started out believing in power greater than themselves, but I saw them learn through this program about themselves and about how to relate to God, have a relationship with God, trust and rely on God, so that they had the power to live the life that I believe God wants us all to live and to be happy, joyous, and free. Because it says, believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, I firmly believe that I know not only can he restore me to sanity, but he can make me happy, joyous, and free, which I wasn't before. I thought I was fine. I had no idea. I had no idea what real freedom, real happiness, real joy was. And, you know, that's huge to me. And now I do suspect that a lot of that has to do with the fact that he restored me to sanity, that I wasn't constantly thinking about what I was going to eat next or what, you know, what fast food joint I was going to go to and then what next joint I was going to after that, after I ate a complete meal and then went to another one and another one. And you know, that type of insanity, you know, has been removed. The insanity of, you know, the alcoholic insanity, the fog in my mind that I can get from food. I can actually get it from spending. I mean, spending in the past for me could give me a high, and I could be consumed with that. You know, get my mind on something that, man, I want it, and just make that happen. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, you know. Let's make that happen. You know, that took a lot of energy and time and money and, you know, all of those things have changed. And it talks in here about this spiritual awakening that we read at the back. And that's what it's all about. That's the whole purpose, I believe, of this book, is to show us specifically how to do that, how to arrive at that spiritual awakening, that psychic change, because that's what I've had. You know, as I said, my Edith thinking, not good. Not good. Edith, guided by God, directed by God, happy, joyous, and free. It's really that simple. Do I need to do these steps, all of these steps, and keep doing it every day? Absolutely. Because if I stop, I'm scared to stop. I'll tell you right now, because I don't want to go back to how I was. I want to continue to know, not just believe, but know that my power greater than myself is what restored me to sanity. I want to remember that. I want to remember how insane I was. You know, it says we don't shut the door on the past. We use it. I use the past as a result of this work to know I do not want to go back there, but also to help others. You know, my past and that insanity in all of those areas, God's given me that so I can help others, because that's another big, big part of this. If I start working with someone doing this process, that's one of the very first things that comes up is, you know, are you willing to work with others, taking their hand and putting their hand in God's hand, you know, working through this process so that they can experience the happiness, joyous, and free freedom that you've experienced. And, you know, if they're not willing, you know, thankfully, everyone has said yes so far. I haven't had one that said, well, no, that's not true. I did have one, but she ended up not doing the process anyway because she just wasn't willing or anything. But everyone else has said yes. And I said yes to that question. And I got to be honest with you. That wasn't like my main idea in doing this. I just wanted what everybody else had. I wanted to be happy, joyous, and free. I wanted to see that change. I mean, I have seen people literally change their appearance. You know, maybe their posture, the look on their face. They're just happier. You know, they're more serene. Oh my gosh, sanity is kind of linked to me with serenity. Let me give you an example. You know, we just had a storm come through here, and they said it might be like Matthew. Well, Matthew at my house brought water in the house, and we had to have a whole lot of work done and everything and all that. Thankfully, we had concrete poured to raise that room up. But you know, this whole thing, I was serene. I wasn't worried. Now, that's a miracle, you know. I wasn't concerned because I knew that I have a power greater than myself. He's restored me to sanity. And so I am sane. I'm serene. I know that that storm is beyond my control. You know that serenity prayer? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. I accepted a storm's coming. What it does, I don't know. It might flood. You know, I'm 15 feet from the marsh. It might flood again. I mean, I don't think that would happen, but I mean, that might happen, but I don't think my house would be gone. But I really, thought about that scenario, and you know, I was okay with that. Now, how miraculous is that for a person like me, who was just running from constantly from pillar to post, being crazy, doing crazy things, saying crazy things, judging everything and everyone, including myself? How does someone like that go through something like just came up with serenity, at peace, and knowing it would be okay, whatever happened? I feel that so deeply. I can't explain to you how deeply I know that I am in God's hands. God's holding me. He's holding me up. He's, you know, he's a huge part of my life. I have to go to him for everything. And that's kind of, this process has done that for me 100%. And I have someone that I've been talking to. She's not a sponsee, but she calls me, giving me 10 steps. And, you know, I was concerned because she's on the other side. She doesn't live here in town. But it seemed to me like there's still so much, not enough serenity. I'll just put it that way. You know, not happy, joyous, and free and stuff. And I even talked about it with my sponsor. And then I talked to her this morning, made an appointment to talk to her this morning. And granted, she's got a lot going on. She literally has 4 different big diseases, and she has post-traumatic stress syndrome, and her father, who she was very close to, died 11 months ago, and, you know, she has a lot of stress at job, and, you know, just there's a lot going on there. There's just a lot. She's not totally estranged from her family, but kind of, sort of. I mean, they've kind of drifted apart, and, you know, and I asked her, I said, you know, I have a concern. I said, you don't seem happy, joyous, and free to me, are you? And she said, no, that's why I'm really wanting to work on this and be, you know, willing and stuff. So she's doing these turnarounds because she realizes she still has resentments. And it was really interesting, though, because one of the things that I keep reminding her of, you know, because I talk about the book with people I work with on any level, is that thing of going to God. Because I really believe a lot of work in these steps. Like when I sat down to write, first thing I did, prayed. I prayed for God's help. And I know it wouldn't have worked if I hadn't done that. And so I've got in that habit of praying for God's help. And, you know, I kind of got the idea with her that maybe she wasn't doing that. She wasn't really going to God first. She was just, you know, still being self-reliant. And so she said, no, I'm not happy, joyous, and free, you know, and that's why I want to do this work, more of this work and everything. And, you know, one of the issues is, like, her mom, she wasn't close to her mom, and her family, they drifted apart, and she was saying that they had, you know, her kids and her sister's kids used to do things together all the time and everything. Well, just a couple of days ago, yesterday, I guess it was, she said, I feel like I need to go see my mother, but, you know, da-da. And it just didn't sound in my mind doable. But now I'm not going to tell her what to do. She said, or I could call her. But, you know, I'm just going to listen. And I said, well, suggested consult God. Just take a few minutes and pray and meditate about it. So she did that, and she told me today she decided to call her mom. Well, I don't know if she realized, but from that one call, so many people were affected. Bridges were made, extended. Her mother was, you know, really receptive to her and said, come by. And then after that, her mother talked to her sister. Her sister texted her today when she was working out and said, hey, and she said, I'll respond, you know, a little bit later. She talked to her sister, and her sister says, hey, mom, our mom says that our mother says that your son, you're taking your son to the hockey game today. Can my daughter go, you know? And this is a sister that she was just telling me, you know, they've grown apart. Their kids used to do things together all the time. They never do. You know, just that one consultation with God, make that phone call. She did it. She followed God. And, you know, I could tell you about half a dozen other things that happened as a result of that one phone call. Now, that's God to me. And I told her that. I said, that's God. And she knows it. And that's all I'm trying to do is just remind her, go to God. He will give you the answer, and amazing, miraculous things will happen. So how am I doing on time?
You have 5 minutes.
Okay, thanks. So I'm here to tell you from my experience, strength, and hope that there is a power greater than myself. I personally believe there's one for everybody, and I love that fact, too, that we can pick and choose exactly what our higher power is to be. I mean, I want a God who's loving and accepting and guides me and, you know, that sort of thing. Lifts me up, lets me know when I'm not doing the right thing. And he does all of those things for me, you know, all of those things. He definitely lets me know if I'm not doing the right thing. And that, too, has come about as a result of this work, you know, because I wasn't like that before. I just wasn't aware until I did this work. And back here where it says on page 27, it talks about the vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are a phenomenon. I believe that. You know, they can't be explained, really. They're phenomenon. And a vital experience, vital spiritual experience, a life-giving. And that's what my spiritual experience is, plural, have been, life-giving experiences. The happy, joyous, and free life that I always wanted. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side. And that's true. My Edith ideas, my Edith emotions, oh my gosh, I could lose it. I can remember just slamming a bottle of perfume on a tile floor one time. Just, I don't do that stuff anymore. I mean, my emotional, you know, those bedevilments on page 52, because I had talked with this woman about that, you know, trouble in relationships, check, you know, trouble making a living. I always made a living money-wise, but my work, how things went at work wasn't so great. So check. You know, financial issues, check. You know, all those bedevilments came about as a result of my ideas and emotions and attitudes that were guiding me, my Edith thoughts, my Edith attitudes, my Edith emotions. And now a great upheaval has occurred. That's been replaced. You know, psychic change. My brain works differently now, thank God, literally. A completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. You know, I honestly, when I used to want to help people, and I thought I was helping people, air quotes around them, I wasn't helping people. I did more harm to them than I helped them because I did it my way. I decided what they needed. I decided what they should have, and I tried to make that happen. That's not how it works, you know. I've learned to listen, you know, and sometimes I would do things for people and they don't want me to do it, and that was bad. And so all those types of things have changed. You know, now I do things more altruistically, not always. I'm not perfect. I'm still human, but I do it for a love of doing it. When I go and help my, you've heard me, if you've been here much, you've heard me talk about my little nieces that I go and help their parents and them, and I love it. And I'm not judging them. I'm not trying to control them. I'm not trying to tell them what to do. I'm not thinking, well, you should be doing this. I'm just loving them and helping them. And here's another miracle. I go to their mom and I say, what do you want me to do? Now that's a miracle right there, you know? And it makes a difference. All of those psychic changes are what have made me just love what I'm doing. You know, there's a logo thing that says, do what you want and love what you do, or something like that. Do what you love and love what you do. And I've understood that what I want to do is what God wants me to do. And when I do that, he gives me the power to do it when I ask him and listen and actually do it. Then I love what I do and I love my life. I'm happy, joyous, and free. So thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to share. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Edith. If you are new to this meeting, please listen carefully. This type of meeting is